nobody's ever found themselves at a good place, but you got thinking, how did I get here? And how you got there started taking away from where you was. I'll give you an illustration of that. 34 years ago, this summer, I stood in a little Baptist church in Sloan's Valley, Kentucky. I stood up front with me and four other guys and my grandfather, and the back doors of the church opened up, and my wife and her dad began to come down the aisle. And I began to think about that moment. That's an awesome moment. People say, did you cry? I did. I wasn't a crier, but I just started crying. She started coming down the aisle with her dad. I started crying. And I got to thinking for just a moment. She was born in Georgia, and I was born in Indianapolis. And somehow, some way, we got together in high school. And now here I stand. And I started thinking about all that, and if I wasn't careful, I was going to miss the moment. And I think salvation is the same way. We live in a time where everybody is debating how you get saved and how you get saved, and they're taking verses out of the Bible and twisting them around and saying you got to do this and you got to do that. And a lot of us that are saved are missing the enjoyment of our salvation. Because we're caught up in all the other stuff. And I thought this morning, I would read you Ephesians chapter 1, because here is where all the debates come from. I told the class a while ago, Jamie was teaching, and I said, if we were to stand out in the road and stop traffic, every car that's passing down Houstonville Road, stop every car, and ask the question, when you die, where do you hope to go? You know, I don't think I would stop one car who wouldn't say heaven. Even if they're not church people. I think living in the world, we know and we've heard about a place called heaven. And maybe our curiosity makes us wonder about a place such as that. But I think everybody in this building knows that there is something out there after this life. And I believe that we've heard the two options. And if there's two options, we choose one over the other, right? I mean, you hear about people and you hear about Satan worship and all that, but you know, honestly, I don't think there's anybody who would choose hell over heaven. And so, when the Bible was being printed, people like Paul were dealing with people like us, and they were confused because they were not raised up in church like the Jewish people were, and they didn't know all the Bible lingo, and so Paul would try to just lay it out how it really was. I want you to see the first three verses, and then I'll give you this quick message in the rest of the verses. But I think what Paul does is reflect for a minute where he's at. Because he's saved where he's at. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and the peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's writing to believers, just like sitting here, there's believers here. And he's writing to believers and he's encouraging them in what God has given them. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the Lord, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. See, here's what you've got to swallow for a second. Your life here is short. Even if you could live to be 100, it's still short compared to the big life of eternity. And what he's telling these believers is, what you have in Christ is heavenly things. One day this will rot. One day this will evaporate. One day all your stuff's going to be in a storage unit. You're going to die. Your kids are going to pull it out and have a sale. Or they won't pay the bill anymore and your stuff will be sold on Storage Wars. And you were so sentimental, you hung on to all this stuff because these are our memories. And I'm telling you, your memories are going to rot one day and be sold off. It'll happen. He said, no, no, not in our family. We're a very sentimental family. That's awesome. We are too. But eventually, it'll happen. But you know, in 100 years from now, none of us will even care anyway. Because we're going to be in a we're going to be in eternal life. We're going to be somewhere, continue to live, but not here. And what we do there is a big deal. And where we go is a big deal. But Paul's talking to believers. He said, listen, believers, what God has in heaven prepared for you, woo, it's going to be awesome.
That's right.
Now, that's me standing there watching Rochelle come down the aisle, just basking in that for a minute. But then what Paul does is he explains to them how they got there. Now, I know I'm looking at a group of people here who some are saved and some are ready and some are sitting here with questions. And some may have never heard it before and some may be hearing it for the second or third time and all these thoughts are starting to weigh in your thoughts. I want you to listen today. How do you get from where you are to where He is? And that heavenly scene that He talks about. So here's what He tells us in verse 4. And I'm going to read all the way through 13. So let's just read it, then I will talk to you, alright? According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasures of His will. Now, I will tell you, I know because I've been sitting where you've sitting. I just heard a couple of words that all of a sudden just messes me up. First of all, I heard words like chosen. And I heard words like predestinated. Who heard those words? Who's like a little curious about those two words? Anybody was just like, I'm a little curious about those two words. Everybody got it. This is like the smartest crowd I've ever preached to. How many just like nod, tell me more? Alright. Two things you gotta know. Before you were ever born, God knew you. Jeremiah chapter 1 tells us before Jeremiah was formed in his mother's womb, God knew him. You and I serve a God who knows everything. And He knew it back during the creation time. Now, I'm sitting where you're sitting once upon a time, and I'm sitting there and thinking this. And I don't know nobody out there's thinking this, but I was thinking this sitting where you're sitting. If God knew all this, why didn't He just call it off before He made it? Nobody was thinking that? See, that's what Steve used to think sitting there, like, if God knew this, He knew that Adam and Eve would sin, and I he said, preacher, you think He knew that? God knows everything. That didn't slip through, wasn't like a ticker tape coming across God's bottom of His television. Just happened. Adam and Eve just sinned in the garden. Oh my, I didn't see that one coming. He saw it coming before He created them. But He did it anyway. And He knew His Son would have to come and go through the beating that He went through and die on the cross. He knew that before man was ever created. But He did it anyway. You say, well, I don't know why He would do that. I can tell you why, but you got to give me a second. Because it's pretty cool why. And God says, I've chosen you. That's a pretty good feeling to be chosen. I remember the kids that were on the playground and they were picking teams. I always got picked, okay? I wasn't like the best, but I wasn't the worst. So when they were picking teams, I always got picked. We'll take Steve, and I'd kind of walk over like, yeah. picked me. Now let me tell y'all a secret. You all were chosen.
That's right.
Every one of you. Can you prove that, preacher? I surely can. Keep your Bible marked and go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. So before you get real special on me and take that walk across the stage, you know, I'm one of the chosen ones, I want you to understand He chose all of us. Verse number 9. Let me read verse 8 with you because it's a little bit of a picture of the heavenly scene again. Who do you know that's 1,000 years old? Rodney, got any? Don't look at Carmen. She's not close to that yet. Don't look at your mom-in-law. She's not that old. 1,000 years. This is what God says about this in verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord. That's one day in heaven, so they got a different time table up there. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is what? Jesus has been gone 2 days, according to God's calendar. We've been looking for Him for thousands of years. I've heard my grandparents talk about it, and their grandparents talked about it. But in reality, in God's eyes, in God's time, He's been gone 2 days. Now 2 days I can handle, Dickie. 2 years is tough. 20 years is tougher. But I can't even imagine 2,000 years. But God's 2 days. Now look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Y'all read it. So let me tell you, way back in the beginning when God was making all this plan and He knew that man would sin, He was making a plan for man to get out of that mess that He made. And He made that plan, listen, for every person ever born in the world to have a chance. Not mattering about your race, not mattering about your financial status, but every person was chosen by God to have eternal life. Now that's pretty cool. Yeah, but what's the predestinated? That's easier. See, that was foreknowledge, but predestinated means what God's already predetermined. So what is God predetermined, preacher? It's really simple. He predetermined that after you accept His Son, you become a believer and you will become like His Son. It's predetermined. Yeah, build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Not happening. It's already been predetermined that you're going to have a mansion when you get there. The Bible says it's already been prepared before the foundations of the earth. Before He ever spoke all this into existence, He already prepared a place for the believers one day. And who could go there? Everybody. Now this is the cool part. You and I live in a world where people want to take and twist all of this. But if you'll listen to exactly what Paul tells these people, this is like the greatest story ever. So getting them words out of the way, now go to verse 7 with me. Let me read 6 with it. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery. What's a mystery? I know what the mystery machine is. That was what Shaggy and Scoob run around in, right? I know y'all watch. I watched that. What's the mystery? Something we just don't understand, but we know it's happened. There's a mystery here. You that are saved, you that have been convicted by God. You had that feeling in a service like God's tugging at you and like, wow, I didn't come to church expecting that feeling. It's a mystery. And he says this, the mystery of what? His will. Now what's His will? We said that a while ago. What is His will? 2 Peter 3:9. He's not willing that what? So what's His will? That all come to repentance. That's His will. He's up there and He said, I want everybody in the world to be saved and become believers. That's pretty cool. To know that that's His will. The God of the universe, that's His will. Now look what He says. That in this dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together one in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even to Him. So here's what He's saying. He gives us a little future picture. He says, one day, what's in heaven and what's on earth are going to be all together, and I'm going to be the God of all of them. That's pretty cool. All this denominational separation, all this stuff that you and I fighting through, figuring out, one day, all that's gone. You've got all people, all races, all nations, all tongues coming together that's already dead, those that are alive, be together, and they will be together forever with the Lord. Isn't that cool? You said that sounds like confusion. I don't think it will be. Now, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, there's that word again, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Preacher, this is like, wow, predestinated again, there it is. Well, let me tell you. I think, before Jack and Wanda ever met, God had it planned for them to meet. They would have a son and a daughter. The son would surrender to preach, and he would become a missionary. And he would go to different places in the world, and one day he would end up in April the 10th, 2016, in Danville, Kentucky, and he would be preaching exactly what he's preaching today. Larry's looking at me like, are you crazy, Brother Steve? You think God's that good? And He knew, now listen to this, I'm going to throw a curveball at you. He knew you'd be sitting here listening. And some of you are first-timers. He said, I didn't know till this morning I was coming. I know, but He knew. We're talking about God of the universe. He knew you would be sitting right here. And He knew what He wanted me to do with my life. But guess what? He knows what He wants you to do with your life. And part of the deal is, Jamie, that every one of us are on this road, and it's through prayer, and it's through Bible reading, and it's through all these things that our purpose in life joins up with what His will is. And if you ever find that in your life, you'll probably just take off running and pitch a fit. But I won't, because I don't want to scare visitors. But I'm telling you all, God's orchestrating this from up there, from His seat. And I'm searching every day, Dickie, trying to find His will in my life. But when it ever joins up with His purpose and my will get together, it's an awesome day. Can I tell you, that's happened a few times in my life. I'll tell you when it happened the first time was in May of 1974 in a little Baptist church in Indianapolis, when God was pulling me and saying, Steve, this is about you and salvation, and this is about you going to heaven. And I understood what God wanted for my life, and I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior that day. I'm telling you something, that was a great day for me. And if you've had that experience in your life, whether it was at home, whether it was in a hospital, you might have been in a car, you might have been some other country, but sometime and somewhere you acknowledge that you realize your condition and Jesus was there, God made it real, you accepted that payment for your sin, you could tell me by looking at me that was a great day. And if you're in here and you're a believer, you know that was. Now look what he says in verse 12 and 13, and I'll give you this quick little tidbit. That we should be to the praise of His glory who trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after also that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So let me give you this quick deal. I'm going to read you some scripture with this quick deal. But I want you to see how you got to where you're at. And if you're not there, I want you to see how you can get there. First of all, I've got to tell you where you're at. You were born wrong. You were born a sinner. Now, I'm looking at a papa holding a baby, and he's probably like, I will hit the preacher. I've never met him personally, but I might have to hit the preacher talking about my grandbaby. Children are born with a sinful nature. And as they get older, you will see that as parents. And some of you said, hey, yep, it become reality. You'll tell them no, and you'll give them a little like that or a timeout, whatever you do in your discipline world. But those kids will sneak. And how you know they know what they're doing is when they're walking over to the television or to get your phone, they're looking to see if you're looking. Who knows what I'm talking about just by an amen?
Amen.
That nature is in that child from birth. There's going to be times that baby's going to cry. You're going to do everything. You pick it up. You've done everything. And there's nothing wrong with that baby. It's lying. You rush it because you're a new parent. This is your first child. You rush to the hospital. If it's your third child, you just like, get over it. It'll be all right. Or you let the oldest child take care of the younger one, right? You gotta do what you gotta do. Here, take this. You probably just need to go to the bathroom. I think it's just go to the bathroom. But the first one, you're running like panic, you know what? Something's wrong with the baby. And there's nothing wrong with the baby. Just crying. Then they get spoiled. And you set them down. And you pick them up. Or you could be our grandson. He hates the car seat. As soon as you put him in the car seat, he explodes. When Josh and him left here, he said he cried all the way to Kansas City. Oh yeah. Would you love to have been in that car? Josh says we could take him out of the car seat, he'd quit immediately. Put him back in, he'd explode. That's our nature. But let me tell you the good news, moms and dads. The Bible tells us that we're covered. Children are covered. Well, what's the age? That depends. The Bible said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When you become a reality that you're sinning and you're doing wrong and you're aware that you're doing wrong, all of a sudden you become accountable to God. At that moment in time, what age is that? Everybody says it's 12 years old. Let me tell you something. This day and time is a lot younger than 12 years old. Kids are smarter. Kids are becoming wiser about things. And I'm telling you, when you understand, that's the time you make decisions. So let me tell you, man has been born wrong. He's been born with a sinful nature that is against God. You all do understand that God cannot look upon sin. Sin has infected us. We are infected with sin. We pray to God, we talk to God, but we're sinners. And God cannot deal with sinful people. Therefore, God made a plan. His plan determined that He would send His Son. His Son would be born in a fleshly body just like yours. But His Son would not ever sin. That's never been pulled off in the history of the world. But Jesus pulled it off. God created Adam and Eve from the dirt, from scratch, so to speak. Michelle makes biscuits from scratch. I'll take them every day over to Canwins.
That's right.
God made man from scratch. But man sinned, Dickie. But God sent His Son to be born in the flesh. He came out. Samantha's going to have a baby on Saturday, Monday. Somewhere between Monday and Tuesday, Samantha's going to have another little girl. I'm not making that up. Just what she told me a while ago. It's coming Monday. Jesus came through the birth just like that little girl's coming. He had a brothers, He had sisters, He had grandparents, He had all the things that you have. But Jesus never sinned. Get this one. Some of you have had bad thoughts since you've been here. Like, how much longer is this guy going to go? Jesus never had a bad thought. He lived 32 years and they put Him on trial. Falsely accused. And they had a choice to release a criminal or take Jesus and pay for it. And they said, give us Barabbas and kill Jesus. And that's exactly what they did. They crucified Him and they killed Him. And they took Him and they put Him in a grave. And 3 days later, He'd come out of that grave alive. Let me tell you why He did that. Because God wanted to buy you back. And the only price for your life was a life. You know the Bible says an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Us southern rednecks, we like that, don't we? The Bible says, Charlie Daniels sings it in a song, you know the good book says, so I know it's the truth, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Better watch where you're going, better remember where you've been. That's the way I see it, I'm a simple man. Amen. But let me tell y'all the truth about that. God says that's exactly how it's going to go down. For Jamie to get into heaven, somebody's got to pay the price. If Jamie's not going to pay the price, I'm paying the price. And He died in your place, Jamie, so you could have eternal life. Now let me tell you the big deal. He said, that's a great story, but how do I know it's for me? This is the best part. Read verse 13 with me before I quit with you. In whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, I know this is the fact, because I've been where you're at. I've been where you're at and I've heard the preachers talking about what I've talked about. And all of a sudden, some of that stuff started making sense to you. And you thought over that. And something inside of you urged you that that's you that needs to do that. And you looked around and you thought, I'm a stranger in this building. I don't even know these people. But God is like nudging on me. Something's nudging me. And part of your mind starts saying, maybe it's the devil nudging. I'm telling you right now who's nudging. I want you to read this. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In Genesis chapter 6 verse 3, God said, my Spirit will not always strive with man. How many know what striving is? Not driving, but striving. Striving's like this. What am I doing? Fighting, wrestling, that's striving. I've said what you're setting. And I felt the Spirit, like, y'all feel that like little sick stomach feeling? Like, ugh. They sing one more, I'm going. I don't even know these people, but I'm going anyway. That's the Spirit of God striving in you. Let me make this simple today. God, before man was ever created, chose for you to go to heaven. He made a way. And that's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world He gave. God said, there's only one thing I can do for Kay. I'm going to give her my son. The greatest gift a person could give is life. I say that all the time about the blood. The greatest gift is the gift of life. I'm telling you, the gift of life is Jesus today. And God gave the greatest gift. He chose it for the world. before it was ever put together, He chose for you to be saved. Then Jesus came. And Jesus went through this awful ordeal. At the cross, could have called it off. He had His teammates, His angels all around Him. He could have called it off. But He let it go down because He did it because He knew the only way Larry could get to heaven, because God wants Larry to get to heaven, is I got to die for Larry. So I'm going to go ahead and do it because I want Larry to go to heaven too. And so Jesus did His part. But the Holy Spirit, which is God in the Spirit, says, I want Dickie to go to heaven too. So He takes the Word of God, and He takes the man or a woman, somebody to share what Jesus has done for them, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God begins to move in their life. Now here's the big deal. You guys got to get this. Jesus had a choice. And He chose to die for you. God had a choice. He chose to love the world and give His Son. And the Bible says, Kimber, that you were created in God's image and His likeness, which simply means, Kimber, you have a choice. So when that Spirit of God begins to knock on your door and say, they're talking about you today. You're the one that needs to believe today. You're the one who needs to accept me today. And I'm going to tell you exactly what's happening. It's God offering you the choice. He doesn't pick what He wants. He's made the plan and the preparation. He's done all the work. Now He's come down here to this service at the closing time, and He says, what do you want? And Paul said when he wrote this, that when we believe the Word of truth, we were sealed until the day of redemption. I'm going to tell you this in closing. I didn't think I'd ever put this in a sermon, but it's going to happen today. When I read the Bible, I come up with how I believe it all works. Even though we come up with Betty some kind of preconceived ideas. But sometimes there's verses in the Bible that doesn't go along with my preconceived idea. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Who's ever had that happen? So I've been taught all my life that you get into the Lamb's Book of Life when you get saved. That sounds great. That's how I've been taught all my life. But then there's verses shared that say your name could be blotted out. But I believe you can never be taken away from God. According to John, he said, nobody can take me from the Father's hand. So preacher, what is it? I'm going to tell you what it is. When you were conceived, your name was written in the book of... You know why? Because that's life. Listen, I'm not getting into the debate, but I'm right in the middle of it, so here I stand. Abortion is murder! God is the giver and the taker of life. He picks and chooses. And I'm telling you, when life is conceived, that child is God. Preacher, prove it. In the book of 1 Kings, or 1 Samuel, David had a baby die. And David said these words, He cannot come to me, but I can go to him. That baby is with the Lord. Why? Because it's a child of God. You go through this life and God's Spirit deals with you, just like He's dealing with some of you this morning in this service. And you say no, 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 and you die, I think that name disappears from the book. But, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior like I did, 1974, whenever you did, This is a biblical truth. They would take blood, and they would take blood and put it over the top of a writing, and that would seal a writing. That blood is transparent when it's put over writing, and you can see the writing, but it cannot be erased because it's sealed by blood. That's how they sealed things in the Bible. Now, I'm telling you all today, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says your name is sealed. Did we just read that a while ago? You're sealed. The Holy Spirit of promise seals you. Nothing can take your name from that book if the blood has been applied. You have that chance and that opportunity this morning to make sure your name's in the book of life. Sealed. Sealed. The Bible says until the day of redemption. What is that day? The day that you breathe your last breath and you stand before your Maker. Or the trumpet sounds and the rapture happens. I'll take either one. Because I know. Because Paul said this, I am sure. Are you sure today? You want to stand here and be sure today. That's what you want. If you're sure, then you can bask in the glory of what you're enjoying right now, like in my wedding, and not be thinking, well, how did I get here? Because now you know how you got here. God. Not willing that any would perish. As you're in this building today, I'm telling you, God wants you to be with Him in eternity. He planned that way. So I'm asking you, have you accepted His truth? I'm going to tell you the second thing you do. After you know you've been saved, you're to identify with God's people. Basically, you identify with Christ. And you become a follower. How do you become a follower? You do what Jesus did. And here's what Jesus did. He went and found John and he got baptized. Not to have any sins washed away because he was sinless. But he was starting his church. And he says, follow me. So what Jesus is asking for you believers to do today, and there's some who've never followed him in that next step of baptism, he said, follow me. Be identified with me. When people see you, they say, well, there goes a Jesus follower. Because he's doing the same things Jesus did. She's doing the same things Jesus did. I think Christian gets used too loosely. I want to be a Jesus follower today. How about you today? If you died today, do you know where you're going? Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for this invitation. Lord, You know the needs in the building. Lord, so many Scripture we could have read this morning, but Lord, I pray that Your Spirit will direct the Word today in the way it needs to go. Lord, I pray for those of our service who may not be sure about eternity today. Lord, I pray for those who are saved but never followed You in baptism. Lord, that would be the day today to do that. I pray for Christians who are backslidden, who are not living like they need to live. Let this be a day that they would feel the need to come and rededicate their life to be more what You would have them to be. Have Your way, Your will in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. What was singing, Brian?